Welcome back to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke, and Rapid City writer Lori Armstrong's latest mystery novel, Merciless. New FBI agent Mercy Gunderson investigates the murder of the teenage niece of a newly elected tribal president and gets caught in the middle of politics and family rivalry on the fictional Eagle River Reservation. Merciless is Armstrong's fourth Mercy Gunderson novel, and she joins us. Lori Armstrong, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Thank you so much for having me today.
And you're welcome to join the conversation as well. Are you a Mercy Gunderson fan? Do you know anyone like her? I'm on Twitter at CarlSDPB, or you can email us at midday@sdpb.org. Well, Lori, to begin, what was the inspiration for Mercy Gunderson?
Well, I kind of likened Mercy to a modern-day female gunslinger. I wanted to write a story that was very South Dakota-centric. I had written another series with another tough female South Dakota character, and I wanted to kind of explore a little bit of the gun culture and a woman who'd grown up on a ranch surrounded by guns, really loved guns, and ended up making it her career in the Army.
Well, what I like about Mercy Gunderson is she's tough, she's smart, she doesn't take guff from anyone, but yet she's still very much a woman.
Well, I think that there is that tendency when you're a writer to make, you know, you need to make your characters a little bit larger than life to begin with, but there is that kind of problem of making them too tough. And I think readers will believe a too tough male character far before they will believe an over-the-top female character that's that tough. So, I mean, you do need to show a human side, and, you know, luckily with women there's always that vulnerability of relationships, and that seems to matter a little bit more in, you know, when you're dealing with a female character.
Well, she has her love interest is the Eagle County Sheriff, Mason Dawson, and since Mercy is an FBI agent and her boyfriend is the sheriff, they can't tell each other what they're doing. They're both involved in investigating the same case.
Well, and that's kind of the way that it goes. That's been sort of the theme through the first three books is that, you know, you find this person that you're allowing yourself to have a relationship with, and there's all this stuff that's off the table that's happening in your life that you can't even discuss with them. And it's going to affect your life, and especially when you're dealing with murder and the really horrible things that people do to one another, to not be able to discuss that and kind of talk yourself off the ledge and have someone who can calm you down from that really presents problems in their relationship.
Mercy Gunderson gets really caught in the middle of everything. We mentioned the politics, life on the reservation, some family rivalries. How difficult was it for you to put all this together to make a coherent story? Because there's a lot going on and a lot of characters and these rivalries we were talking about.
Well, it's always hard to make a cohesive story, so you always kind of hope when you get to the end of it that you've pulled it off. And luckily, I have a really great editor who can help me, you know, get the story where I want to. I'm lucky enough in that, you know, I live in the area that I write about. So if I need to do additional research, you know, I have people that I can contact if I've run into a snag in some particular situation, because there are a lot of restrictions when you're talking federal jurisdictions, tribal jurisdictions, state, city, all of that kind of stuff really can present a huge quagmire of problems. And sure enough, if you accidentally drop a body in the wrong place and give the wrong government entity direction over that case, you're going to hear about it from the reader. So I was really fortunate that the local FBI office was willing to work with me and kind of guide me through Mercy's new career.
This book takes place on a fictional reservation, the Eagle River Reservation. How much research there did you have to do in exploring life on the reservations, not just tribal government, but also the politics and the families and life on the reservations in South Dakota?
Well, Eagle River is intentionally fictional because I wanted to kind of pick all of the different aspects of the various reservations in Western South Dakota and sort of put it in my own area, and then I would have a little bit more control over what happens. And so when people do say, well, that's not legal here and there, and I could say, well, it is in my reservation because it's entirely fictional. But it's always difficult to make sure that you're straddling the line of truth, but you're not going too far either way. You're not putting on those rose-colored glasses for your character either your main character or the characters in the story, or you're not presenting such a bleak outlook that there's no hope of redemption for anybody at the end of the story.
How has Mercy Gunderson grown over the course of, this is the fourth book, Merciless?
This is the third book. There was a couple of short stories
okay.
that I wrote in between the second and the third book. So she's grown quite a bit. When she came back from war in the first book, she was pretty much a broken character. She was dealing with the death of her father. She was dealing with what she's going to do with this ranch that she never really wanted anything to do with to begin with. And then bodies start to show up on the ranch, and she really doesn't want to get thrust into this position of having to figure out who's doing the killing and, you know, making a determination whether or not she's going to sell to people that would give her a lot of money and she could move on with her life. So she's grown a little bit in that she's a little bit more comfortable being out of the service.
Now, she knows the characters who are involved, and how does that affect her? I mean, just because she knows these people, she lives there, she's dealt with them, they're friends, and as I mentioned, she's kind of caught in the middle of friends and enemies and in different legal entities.
I almost think that, you know, living here in a rural area, it's a lot worse to think that somebody that you've known your whole life, somebody maybe you've lived next to, somebody you've gone to school with, somebody who's friends with your parents, that they're capable of such a horrid crime against another human being, where sometimes I think when you're talking about novels from larger cities, it's a violent act and people turn a blind eye because it doesn't really affect them. With this, it really does affect her because she doesn't want to believe that these people that she's not necessarily admired but she's known for a very long time are capable of doing something so horrible.
And what sets off the story is the death of, as I mentioned, the teenage niece of a newly elected tribal president. That's where things begin.
Right. And that she, Mercy, in the beginning of this book, she's lamenting the fact that she hasn't really gotten to do much of anything besides office work in the FBI. But she realizes once this situation arises and she's investigating it, that maybe she was a little too quick to want something interesting to happen, because when it happens, it can't be taken back.
Well, what do you like about writing about South Dakota to make up these characters and stories and drop them into the place where you live?
I really like people to get a feel for our state. I think one of the best compliments that I've ever gotten from someone who read the books has said, you know, I feel like after I've read your books, I've been to your state. I know a little bit more about it, and so I'm a big advocate of telling people that they should come to South Dakota at some point and drive across the prairie on I-90 from Sioux Falls to Rapid City and stop in the hills and get out and see that there's more to life than a city, and there's beauty in the vastness. And that's the other thing, is a lot of people don't realize how vast it is here.
And so part of your writing, you want people that don't live here, or even people in the eastern part of the state that maybe aren't that familiar with the western part of the state, to know what life is like, to maybe kind of pique their interest?
Well, and I do think that there's, you know, rural fiction maybe sometimes gets a bad rap as being regional fiction, but I do think that there are some universal commonalities in any kind of a book that has a mystery to it. And so, yeah, I would like to have people, you know, say, hey, you know, bad stuff does happen there.
I've talked to a number of mystery writers, and they have different ways of writing their stories. Some have it plotted out. They know how it's going to work out. Others just let it unfold as they're writing the story, and they're surprised along the way. What's your approach to writing your books?
I usually know about the 8 to 10 black moments in the book, you know, where there's going to be a change of investigation or a personality change, or there's something, you know, you introduce a different character. I know those, but I never am completely sure that the path that I'm going to take from the beginning to the middle to the end is the one that I intended. And so that's always, I guess, fun and interesting and sometimes a little frustrating when the story takes a turn that you didn't imagine.
What's next for Mercy Gunderson?
I'm still kind of working out a plot for the next book and submitting a proposal to the publisher. And so they're really, you know, we're just all happy that this book is finally out. It's been 2 years since the last Mercy book came out. So it's been a break. It's been nice to know that people have contacted me and said, hey, when is the next book coming out? So I'm looking forward to people getting to read this adventure.
I'm assuming that you like writing about Mercy Gunderson, that this is a character you enjoy spending time with.
I do. I will say she scares me a little. People always assume that when you're an author, you're so much like your character that it's just a representation of you, and that's not true. And I'm always quick to point out to people that Mercy is a really great shot with a gun, and I'm horrible. I am a terrible shot. So I would like to think at some point I would get a little bit better through needing to get Mercy a little bit better.
Well, she was a Black Ops Army sniper, wasn't she?
She was.
Yeah. Well, as I mentioned, Merciless is the name of your new book. And Laurie Armstrong, you'll be signing copies Saturday, 2 o'clock at Books A Million in Rapid City, and then on Tuesday, January 22nd, at the Sturgis Public Library. I think that begins at 5 o'clock. Any other events coming up?
I have actually one in Alabama on the 26th of January, and part of a Murder on the Menu mystery conference. And so that will be kind of a change up, too, to see if I can get some of these people in Alabama to give Mercy a try.
Do you enjoy the opportunity to meet and talk with your readers?
I do. That's probably one of my favorite parts of promotion and getting to travel and talk to people and, you know, talk about the state that I live in and, you know, why I chose to write a female character like this.
Well, Laurie Armstrong, thanks so much for taking the time to join us on Dakota Midday.
Thank you, Carl.
That's Laurie Armstrong. She's the author of Merciless, and as I just mentioned, she'll be signing copies of the book Saturday afternoon at Books A Million in Rapid City, and then on Tuesday, the 22nd, she'll be at the Sturgis Public Library, and that begins at 5 o'clock.